Lenny Kravitz está hoy en el podcast por Canal 13 en una charla exclusiva donde tuvimos la oportunidad de averiguar un poco más sobre su nuevo larga duración titulado Blue Electric Light. Este es un larga duración que se produjo en las Bahamas y en los Estados Unidos también. Lenny ha estado entre ambos países durante los últimos 2 o 3 años y creo que por ahí comienza esta conversación porque estamos hablando un poco de su tiempo en pandemia, de lo que significó para él esos años de encierro y también de este disco que es producido por su amigo y su escudero y probablemente quien pertenece ya al lugar más importante de la música rock en los últimos 30 años, al igual que guitarristas como Keith Richards o como Jimmy Page, Mr. Craig Ross. Estamos hablando también un poco con Lenny Kravitz de esa relación que ha tenido con su guitarrista, quien es además su ingeniero en este nuevo álbum, de manera que aquí está, sin más preámbulos, Lenny Kravitz en esta conversación muy especial con Canal 13 en el podcast. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's happening, man?
Not much. How about you? What you been up to? Oh, yeah? Because you had a busy year, man.
It's all good. It's all good.
You've had a lot of things to do. You were at the People's Choice Awards. You've gotten a lot of accolades over the course of a year or so. Not that it's any difference from everything that's happened in your career. But, I mean, this couple years, I mean, with all the music you put out, it's like, wow, you're on a roll.
Good, man. I'm really enjoying this journey, and I'm really excited to be putting out the new album, Blue Electric Light, getting back on the road. It's been a minute, so I'm very excited.
And we're looking forward to seeing you again in Bogota, because the last time was just amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, I enjoyed myself there, and I really look forward to coming back. I wish I had more time to hang out when I was there. I actually came early and did some rehearsing there before the tour, and that was great, and got to see a little bit and meet some people. But it's a place where I've always wanted to spend some time.
Yeah, let me tell you, for those of us who are fans of yours, who've been fans of yours ever since, you know, Let Love Rule came out, it was so satisfactory, man. It was so great to see you perform.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Now let's talk about Blue Electric Light. Tell me all about it, but let's start with the name.
You know, it's a feeling. It's a feeling of energy, of God, of love, light, power. So those are some of the elements, what it means to me.
What are the main sources of inspiration in this new album, lyrically, personally, and musically?
Well, first of all, it is what it is. Meaning, there are all these things there, but it's nothing that I think about in advance. So I don't say, okay, here's the concept for the new record, and this is where I want to go, or what I want to say, or how I want it to sound. It just happens. But this album is, it's a lot of fun. I had a really fun time in the studio making it. And in my life at that time, being in the Bahamas over that whole time, the world was shut down, and it's sensual, it's sexual, it's spiritual, and it's a little bit the album that I never put out as a teenager, which is interesting, because when I put my first album out, Let Love Rule, you know, that was the beginning of my sound. I got this download of information, which was that album. And I never looked back. And what I was doing before that was somewhat what you're hearing on this Blue Electric Light album. So as I'm moving forward, I went back as well. And in fact, there are even 2 songs on the album that are from high school.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is interesting, you know?
It's very interesting because you would think that when, as you evolve and you grow as a musician, you look back upon those early songs and say, you know, that they're maybe too naive or, you know, too innocent.
Well, they actually are in a way, which is beautiful. to get that back, you know? That's exactly it. And that was something that I thought about. Like, is it going to be too naive or too young or too where I was at that time? But I needed to be refreshed. I needed to allow myself to go there and feel that. And yeah.
Let me go back to the what you were mentioning about the fun you had making this album and the memorable moments you can share with me about the making of it, anecdotes or stories.
I was in the Bahamas over this period when we couldn't really move around. And I had the luxury of not having a schedule, not having to go anywhere, and to just be free. That was amazing. I hadn't had that since I was a small child. You know what I mean? And in my life, I was just having, you know, I was around a very small group of people and for a long time. And we were just enjoying life, enjoying nature, enjoying the island, enjoying just waking up each day to do the simple things. Take a walk, go get in the water, go work in the garden, plant trees, you know, and make music, you know, and the big decisions were, you know, what are we going to eat for dinner? Where are we going to eat? You know, your house, my house, where we go, you know, it was very simple. It was very simple. And the nucleus of all of it was the making of a lot of music.
What are those two songs that you brought back from your teenage years?
Bundle of Joy and Heaven.
All right. We'll get into the songs a little bit more because I do want to explore a couple of the ones that, you know, I felt more closest to as I was listening to the album.
I'd love to know your feelings.
Definitely. I have a couple things that I want to talk about because some of them, you know, like many of the other songs in your catalog, feel so personal once you listen to them. As you grow as a fan, you end up feeling what you're feeling, but in many different ways. But I do want to explore also your relationship, your musical relationship with Craig Ross, which is, in my view, one of those most fruitful relationships in rock music over the last 30 years. Let's talk a bit about it.
Thank you for saying that, because it's true. And he is a gift from God to me, and he is exceptional. And he should be getting his flowers. He gets them from me every day. But yes.
How'd you guys meet?
We met at a pool hall in Los Angeles. It's a big pool hall, had lots of pool tables, big. I think it was called Hollywood Athletic Club. And I was in there with a buddy of mine, actually, that I've known since junior high school, playing some pool. And Kathy Valentine, the bass player from the Go-Go's, walks over to me. I'd met her when I was a teenager making demos at A&M Records. How she remembered me, I have no idea, because I hadn't seen her since. And I was going under the name Romeo Blue, right? I wasn't Lenny Kravitz. So she walks over to me and says, "Hey, Lenny, so good to see you. And I love your album. Let Love Rule had just come out." Well, actually, yeah, Let Love Rule was out and I had done the tour. And she was telling me about the album and she was proud of me because I was this kid, you know. When she met me, and I said, "How do you even remember who I was?" She said, "Of course I remember you." So we're talking, and then the next thing she says to me is, "Do you need a guitar player?" And I said, "I actually do." I was getting ready to put the band together for the Mama Said tour, because I had just finished the Mama Said album. And I was looking for players. And I said, "Yeah, I am. Why?" She pointed over across the room to another pool table, and she said, "See that guy with the hair?" I said, "Yeah." She says, "That's your new guitar player." I said, "It is." And she said, yes, it is. They were roommates. They lived in the same house. Kathy at that time was dating Clem Burke, the drummer from Blondie. And Craig was the roommate. And so she brought him over to introduce me to him. We spoke, and he was in a band called Broken Homes that had made a couple of albums and had been touring, but he was not really satisfied at that point and was getting ready to perhaps do something else. And so I invited him over to my house, and I had a couple of guitars there, and I said, okay, well, I just made this album, Mama Said. It just came out like a week or two ago. I said, I'm going to show you a couple things. He says, I already know it. I said, what do you mean you already know it? The record just came out. How do you know it? What do you mean? He says, I already know it. Sure, you know it. Okay. And he starts playing me my music in my face, playing it perfectly. From that day, which was the next morning, we have not been apart. That was 1991. And where are we now? 2024. Craig and I have been together, sharing life in every way since that day in 91.
That is so amazing and so beautiful, man. And you can hear it in every single step of the way, every single track you guys put out. It's just an amazing and very magical symbiotic relationship.
He's half of my brain. He's my right hand. You know, we don't have to say much. It just happens. And in life and in music, he's been engineering the last couple of albums. So Craig Ross engineered this album, and he's also playing on the album on certain tracks. And he has become an amazing engineer. And I'm comparing him to the best that have ever done it. And I'm so proud of him for doing that. So in making this record, it's just Craig and I in the studio.
So cool.
You know? Yeah.
So cool. Is this record a mix, as you know, you've always done, of analog and digital, or how did that go?
Yes. Yes. Well, since I was, as I told you, since I was recreating some of the vibes of what I was doing in high school, I pulled out a lot of that equipment as well. So I pulled out the old Lin drum, the first one, and the DMX drum machine, and the 808, and my old drum kits, and my old synthesizer is the Prophet 5, and the digital Prophet VS, and the Oberheims, the OBX and the OBXAs, and the ARPs, the ARP Odyssey, and you know, all of these great keyboards, and different Roland's, Jupiters, and and also the analog gear that I love and use, and then also pulled out a lot of the digital outboard gear effects that I was using back at that time. Pulled those out as well to get that authenticity, and so it was a collage of different things, but it definitely had a good dose of 80s technology as well.
Cool. Talk to me about the video for TK421. That was
about
like
the
video, because it broke the internet at that, you know, in November when it came out. It was like boom. Yes. You know,
I can't take any credit for the video. It was not my idea. I had seen a video by Rosalia, who I adore. Rosalia, I think she's an outstanding artist. And so I'd seen this video that she did called Chicken Teriyaki. And I said, I want to work with that director. So I find out who the director is. She's a young woman from Ukraine. You know, my grandfather's from Ukraine. So I was like, oh, that's cool. That was attractive. And I sent her the song. And I said, what are we going to do? And she said, well, we have to do something only you can do. So your environment, your vibe, and not something made up. So I said, okay, well, what? So she said, we're going to come to your house and you're going to wake up and you're going to get ready for your day. You know, you're going to take a shower, get dressed, whatever, put on your clothes, you know, and you're going to walk out the door. And I thought that sounds like the most boring thing I've ever heard. What is that? little did I know her plan. So she showed up to my house and with the crew and said, okay, take your clothes off, get in bed, and let's start your day. And I thought, okay, I don't know, but okay. And we had so much fun. That was the thing about it. You know, it's very tongue in cheek. And we, you know, it's, you know, we were not taking ourselves seriously at all. We were just taking the piss and having fun. And it worked. And, you know, she's very spontaneous and the crew is great. And, you know, she edits it herself. So she got all this footage of us just having fun and edited it together. And yeah, it, as you say, we broke the internet with that. But that was all Tanya's idea.
Cool. Awesome. Let's talk about Human now. Talk to me about this song, because one of the things that I have noticed in all your work, but particularly on this album, is your concern about being human, about what worries you the most about being human in this era. So,
well, this one, I mean, Human is about being who you were created to be, unapologetically, about living this human experience as a spiritual being. You know, this is the journey we're on here. We're here to learn. We're here to be human, right? And all that comes with it. And so that's what that song stands for to me. And it opens up with a line saying, when all my days are done from pleasing everyone, I'll finally have begun. You know, not doing and living what others say you should, but giving yourself the room, allowing yourself to be who it is you were created to be. And that's the way I've lived my life, you know? And it's not always easy. There's so much put on us about how we should be and what we should be, you know, from the moment we're born. And the openness and the beauty of the human experience.
Thank you very much for taking the time. I wish I had more time because I had so many other questions, but listen, the album is amazing. It's beautiful. Thank you very much for sharing it with us. You know, I wish you the best. Take good care.